Here we are again. Kate called me a couple of days ago and said, do you know what you're going to talk about? And I said, no, it'll be a surprise to all of us. And it was pretty much still a surprise this morning when I got up. But I did give it a little thought. But the problem was I had so many conflicting things that I thought might say. But anyway, it's been a little over 2 months since T-Day, when we found out we were going to have Donald Trump for our next president. And I'm expecting that most of the folks in here, maybe not all, that was one of those days where you put the sackcloth on and sat in the ashes and wept and wailed and gnashed teeth. But that was not the case for everybody. And I think that's one of the things, when we got up the morning after Election Day, I suspect most of us were surprised at the outcome. But I also expect most of the folks that voted for Donald Trump were surprised also. So here we are, just a few days away from him stepping into the White House and leading us for the next 4 years, at least. And a lot of us, I feel, are trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to, just what are we going to do the next 4 years? How bad is it going to get? How bad is it going to be? But there again, that's not the case for everybody. Most everybody that I work with closely over at the university, which may be a surprise, were voting for Trump. And all of my family that I know were voting for Trump. So I think I'm having to try to figure out how to deal with that. And I think all of us know folks probably that maybe family or friends or coworkers that we have to figure out how to work together for the next few years. Some of the folks, I think, not necessarily voted for Trump, but voted against Hillary, just as some of the folks that voted for Hillary probably would have rather voted for another candidate. I know I felt the burn, so I was really hoping to have an opportunity to vote for Bernie. But and I know some other folks that were too, but we unfortunately didn't get the opportunity for that. But anyway, I thought that we might read a few verses from the Bible and just see if there might be some suggestions for how we might proceed here in the next few years. I'm reading from Luke, and I'm going to read in chapter 6, verse 27, and I'm actually using one of the Bibles that are in the pews there if somebody wanted to fact check me and make sure I'm not giving you some made up something here. So anyway, I'm going to read chapter 6, verse 27 through verse 46. A lot of reading here. And I think I gathered from when I was reading this that Jesus was talking to not strangers, but to his own people who were closely acquainted with him, knew him, traveled with him. And he said, "But I say to you that hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do to them also. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully taught, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out that speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit, for figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil man, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? I'm going to stop there. I didn't quite read through to 46, but I think that's as far as I wanted to go. I think in these verses here that Jesus gives us some suggestions for what to do in the situation that we're faced with now. And in those things, some of the suggestions he gives us is to love our enemies. And some enemies are easier to love than others. I know that I could be quoted as saying myself, prior to the election, we were in a discussion about my voting for Hillary Clinton. And the discussion was coming from a place where I was the only one, and they could not comprehend why I was not going to vote for Donald Trump. And I made the statement that I would not vote for Donald Trump to pick up poop in the dog park. So that is how I felt about Donald Trump. So, but if we look at these verses, it says that I don't know that I can qualify Donald Trump as an enemy. By the end of 4 years, I may be better able to answer that question. But I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, even though some of the decisions he's making are hard to swallow. I'm still holding out hope that maybe there's some good there, and that some good will come. But regardless of that, however we may feel about who's in office, we're told to love our enemies. And I imagine that there are some that, when it comes to knowing that you are not a supporter of Mr. Trump, that may would hate you for that. But it says we're to do good to those people. Those that might curse us, we're to bless those people. Those that abuse us, and I'm expecting there may be some abuse over the next few years, we're to pray for those people. We're to give and to do unto others as we would like to be done unto us, and we're to love others. So, there we are. We kind of have a map for how to proceed here for the next few years. We're just to continue doing the right thing as best as we know how. It's hard to determine what's right sometimes. But I ask us all just to think about that, you know, all those millions of folks who voted for Donald Trump, I expect there's some pretty good folks in that bunch. And I still have trouble comprehending what folks feel like they're gaining from having him in office, but that's work that I have to do to try to better understand that, because it's obvious that a lot of folks felt like they were doing the right thing. My nephew, on the day after the election, posted on Facebook, I had the first good night's sleep in 8 years. And I still can't understand that, but it just shows that how very differently we can see things. And on New Year's Day, the same nephew posted, "Happy New Year to all you deplorables." So some people are actually embracing the term that Hillary used, which I thought was a mistake at the time. I think that's part of our problem. Is that it's so easy to label folks and assign names to them on both sides, right, back and forth. And if we can, in the next few years, try to focus on the issues and not on individuals and try not to let things become personal, that may help us to be able to try to bridge some of these gaps that exist between us, at least in the political spectrum. But as you read down in there, starting on, oh, it's around verse 42, somewhere around there, where he starts to talk about the speck in our brother's eye and the log in our own eye. I think what that means to me is that any time we're trying to understand the other, it has to start with an examination of ourselves and our own motivations, because it's so easy for us to get insulated, and I think that's what some of us have experienced. If we are around folks that think like us and believe like us and don't spend enough time interacting with folks that don't necessarily agree with us, it's so easy to get in a mindset that everybody thinks like I do and everybody sees things like I do. So I think what this is telling us is that the very first thing that we have to do is self-examination and to try to look at ourselves and try to look for areas where we may have made assumptions, and that to try to deal with that first. It goes on and talks about, I'll read it again, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit." And then further down in 45, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So, I've always felt that what we do is a whole lot more important than what we say. I don't know why this stuck with me, but I can remember the teacher, and I can remember it coming out of his mouth. But for some reason, it stuck with me. He said 85% of what we learn comes through our eyes in middle school. And for some reason, that stuck with me. So anyway, I think people need to see a different way. I think that's a whole lot more important than what we say. So let's try to follow Jesus' advice to love our enemies, to continue to do good to those who hate us, to bless those that curse us, to pray for those that abuse us, to give unto others, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, to love others. I think Jesus puts the burden upon us that consider ourselves followers of Jesus to do the right thing, which is not easy, and to love Donald Trump, to find a way to love the Trump supporters, even though we disagree on many things. I think he's given us a path to follow there. And I've always, probably the verse that I think about the most is just when it says to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I think that's pretty much sums up my idea of what it means to be a follower of Christ, is to just try to follow that advice and to let your light shine. And what you do and how you live will say a whole lot more than maybe what comes out of your mouth. Even though it does mention here about trees bearing fruit, I have heard Donald Trump's press representative, Kellyanne, I think's her name, that tries so hard to interpret for us what Trump really means and what he's really trying to say. But I think in that case and in our case, you know, what is in your heart will come out your mouth. And we'll just have to see how things goes for the next few years. But anyway, that's all I have to say this morning.